Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 16. "What is that?" asked Bet as she pulled a comb through her hair and watched Agent Smith open a white envelope. "I can't believe they still use paper down here. It's a memo from Colonel Lamb, actually Dr. Lamb. He has scheduled a final surgery for my shoulder. They have made a stainless steel collarbone. They want to do it tomorrow," said Smith. "Well, it's about time," said Bet. "I don't know if I'm doing it," said Smith. "Oh, come on, Mike. You need the use of your arm back. Your shoulder is already smaller on that side," she said, walking up to him and sliding her hands over his bare chest and onto his shoulders. "I get it. Believe me, I get it. The president cannot be exposed right now," said Smith. "That's always going to be the case. I know what Riker would say, and you do too," said Bet, turning to put her bra on. "He would say, 'Do it. I know. Maybe you're right. I have too many brothers who are not whole because the VA was too damn slow to help them. At least I have access to the best care available.' I'll call them today and set it up," said Smith in his agent tone. "Mike, I love you. I love you just the way you are. But you work best with two strong arms, yes?" said Bet with the best morning tone she could muster before her morning coffee. "I love you too. You know that," said Smith. Yeah. None of my friends have guys that actually took a bullet for them. Besides, we're getting his and hers Harleys when we get out of here," she said, throttling her right hand in the air in front of him. "Oh, yeah, like they'll have Harleys where we're going," he teased. "What, you think the devil has all the good motorcycles?" "Nah, they ride weed eaters," she said, smiling with her hands together like she was holding onto narrow handlebars. "Okay, we live, we ride," said Smith, grabbing her around the waist with his strong arm and kissing her underneath her chin. "Hey, it's just 6:30. Let's go to Bailey's kitchen and talk to Lorraine. She is there every morning, I am sure," said Bet. "Bailey's?" asked Smith. "I have an addiction, okay? Besides, I have some information for her about the planetary model. You know, kill two birds," said Bet. "Okay, do my tie, will you?" he said, pulling the sleeve of his white dress shirt over his left arm. "Dress you, undress you. A woman's work is never done," said Bet, flipping her fingers over the buttons and tying his tie. "Perfect," said Smith. "Just don't tell anybody," said Bet. "Me? Scout's honor," said Smith, holding his three fingers together in the sign. "You were in pants?" asked Bet, snapping the band on his underwear. "The thought had crossed my mind," said Smith with his jaw set. "Well, snap it up, Smith. There's a cinnamon muffin with my name on it. We can go by the infirmary and confirm your surgery on the way to Building E," said Bet, pushing her feet into her loosely tied sneakers. "Tuck in my shirt in the back," said Smith. "That's a pretty nice ass, Agent Smith," said Bet, cinching his belt and slapping his butt. "You can get your own zipper, can't you? My hands don't work that way." "Let's go," said Smith, checking his weapon and sliding it into his back holster and sliding on his suit jacket. Within minutes, they had reached the ground floor and waited for the elevator guard to confirm the safety of the lobby. They walked to the exit doors and out to the first electric cart. Bet unplugged it and hung the cord on the curbside charger. "I'll drive," said Bet. It did not take long to get from married housing in Building D to Building A. There was already some activity as people gathered in the lobby to head up for the morning chow. "We can take the stairs," said Smith as he opened the door to the stairwell. "Now I don't feel bad about that muffin," said Bet as they both climbed up to the third floor. They walked down the hall, passing four young men dressed in chef uniforms as they headed to the serving line to begin breakfast. They walked into the chef's kitchen and saw Lorraine and Donna sitting at a small table with white cups and saucers in front of them. "Oh, good morning, Agent Smith. Good morning, Bet," said Lorraine, standing to kiss both of them on the cheek. "Good morning, Lorraine," said Smith. "We were going the same direction this morning, so I brought him along," said Bet. "It's so good to see you, Agent Smith," said Chef Bailey, shaking his right hand as he held a cup and saucer in his left. "Please, have a seat, and I will pour the coffee." "Good to see you, Chef Bailey," said Smith, sitting across from Lorraine while Bet sat at the head of the table to his left. "Hello, Donna. How is our resident genius?" asked Smith. "I'm fine. Kyle is too," she said, smiling as she blew across her black coffee. "You should go see him today. He would enjoy the company, and I think you would be interested to see what he's working on," said Lorraine. "Bet is the scientist," said Smith, using his fork to cut into the cinnamon muffin still steaming on the small plate in front of him. "Oh, hell yeah. That boy can build one hell of a ride," said Bet, recalling the flight to the edge of space in a Kyle-propelled Gulfstream. "Yes, he can," said Donna, blushing. "Is he still not sleeping, Donna?" asked Lorraine. "He sleeps a couple of hours here and there, but he says he's been doing that for years. His brain just doesn't shut down. It doesn't seem to bother him," said Donna. "Every human needs rest," said Lorraine. "He says sleep is for sissies," said Donna. "He's in the lab?" asked Smith. "Yes, he and Rhino are working on this energy device, among other things," said Lorraine. "What sort of energy device?" asked Bet. "Well, now you're past my brain grade. All I know is you plug it in and it works. Before that, it's all magic to me," said Lorraine. "There are some things recorded in ancient Egypt that talk about a form of life force to make light. Actually, now that I think about it, the record is in the crypts under the oldest part of the Hathor Temple in Dendera. They say it was drawn in 2250 BC, but that is when the temple was built on top of the already existing structure buried in the desert. It depicts lights being energized with this life force and focused by Jed structures that look like air capacitors. No one really knows for sure," said Bet. "You mean like electric lights?" asked Donna. "There are cables in the pictures, but we're not sure about what kind of energy that's being used. We just assume it's electricity," said Bet. "I thought they used torches," said Smith. "Makes sense that they would, but when the tombs and pyramids were opened, the stone was pristine white everywhere. No soot, nothing was ever burned in there. The paintings and carvings were still colorful and far too intricate to be created in the dark more than 5,000 years after they were sealed up. The precision and scale of the carvings are awesome to behold," said Bet. "I told you. You need to go by and see what he's working on," said Lorraine. "Nothing new under the sun, they say," said Smith. "Sun? Where we're traveling, there is no sun," said Lorraine. "What keeps the planet from freezing solid?" asked Smith. "Thermal inertia, I suppose," said Bet. "You mean like a hot rock in a sleeping bag?" asked Donna. "Something like that," said Bet. "It's what they call winter," said Smith. "You do know the winter solstice is December 21st. But it still takes about 2 months later for the real cold to settle in. I'm just saying it takes time for the Earth to lose that much heat. This relocation should be faster than that," said Bet, trying to be the geologist. "How long of a trip do you think this is going to be?" asked Smith. "Genesis records the trip here. Up to the point Noah and his crew could walk off the ship was 7 months. I'd say about 3 to 4 months anyway," said Lorraine. "You mean the flood of Noah?" asked Donna. "Every ancient record tells the story of a universal flood. We're not sure if the whole earth was flooded at the same time, but there is a geological record of a cataclysm, a high-velocity flood," said Bet. "If it flooded when the two planets merged, what's going to happen when they come apart?" asked Donna. "Revelation chapter 21 says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, said Lorraine. So the sea is going away? Asked Smith. No, the sea is going with us. The whales, the dolphins, they're sentient, said Lorraine. My God, this is the water planet? Said Donna. The water planet? What do you mean? Asked Chef Bailey. You guys really need to read your Bible again. The creation is taught orally for a reason in every holy teaching. It is important that we understand the origin so we can understand the destiny. Here is what Genesis says, said Lorraine. Starting with the first verse, it says, In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, now listen closely, and don't read anything into this. Just take it the way it is written, and see what you see, said Lorraine. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, I've probably read that more than a few times, but it's like I never read it before. It sounds like a water planet, dividing like a giant cell division in space, said Donna. I always thought the firmament was dry land, said Chef Bailey, topping off the cups on the table. Well, God called it heaven. The waters under made up one planet, and the waters above formed another planet. Even I see that, said Smith. We're going home, said Bet, looking deep into the table. Don't think of it like going backward. When the planet came here to merge with the temporal Earth, it had 8 souls on it. We're going back with billions of souls, said Lorraine. How many did we lose? Asked Smith. Heaven lost a third before we got here, said Lorraine. And after mortal life? How many after living through that? Asked Smith, with even more energy on his voice. I don't know. Every intelligence is important. That's what I do know, said Lorraine. And we're stuck down here, said Donna. We have global reach from down here. Those who are driven to seek We'll find the information, said Lorraine. Speaking of that, we have to be somewhere about now, said Smith, setting his coffee cup down. Feel crippled without that cell phone? Quipped Bet playfully. I still catch myself reaching for my earpiece, said Smith, touching his right ear. We gotta go. Thank you for the yummy muffin and coffee, said Bet. Don't forget to visit Kyle today, said Lorraine. We won't, said Bet, as she and Smith walked out the doorway of the chef's kitchen. See ya, said Donna. You know, he really has blossomed since you came into his life, said Lorraine. More like the other way around. Life before Kyle was, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. Now it's like I'm alive, said Donna. It's a wonder to see when mates come together, said Lorraine. The sum is greater than the parts, said Donna, trying for a cliche. It's the product. You multiply by each other to make the whole, said Lorraine. So it's Kyle times Donna, not Kyle plus Donna, said Donna. Much bigger, huh? Said Lorraine. Very large. But I'm humbled to think I can make a difference, said Donna. Soulmates are the square root of the original. Equals, said Lorraine. That makes so much sense. But what if we don't find our soulmate? Asked Donna. That's what happens most of the time, especially in the old days before we could so easily find one another. You don't lose anything. You love, you bond, you create life in your own image. Souls are entangled for eons. They travel in groups and are born into various lives, said Lorraine. You mean like a cat or a horse? Asked Donna. Oh, Lord, no. Cats and horses are their own creation. I mean sons, daughters, parents, and friends, generation after generation, are entangled. We gain perspective and appreciation for all aspects of humanoid life, said Lorraine. Humanoid? You mean other worlds? Asked Donna. This form didn't originate here, if that's what you mean. We didn't evolve on this planet. Good Lord, we did a very poor job of it if we did, said Lorraine. I know what you mean. I hate the cold, said Lorraine. My point exactly. We're just visitors, said Lorraine. But we're together? No matter what world we come from, we're together? Asked Donna. When members in a group meet one another, no matter where that is, they instantly recognize their long-time relationship, said Lorraine. I feel like I have known Kyle forever, said Donna. You mean you know, said Lorraine. Yeah, I know I have known him forever, said Donna. Donna, hold him close. You are doing something marvelous. I'll see you later. I have meetings all day, so I have to go for now, said Lorraine, hugging her quickly. See you tonight? Asked Chef Bailey. Before midnight, I promise, said Lorraine, kissing him on the cheek and walking through the doorway. In a short while, Lorraine walked through the vault door of the president's underground bunker. Good morning, Hadid, said Lorraine sweetly. Good morning, Chief, said Hadid, looking around the door frame and handling the door closed. The president needs to join me at a joint chief's meeting in 1 hour, okay? Said Lorraine. Yes, Chief, said Hadid. They walked together down the hall to the president's office. The door was open as they walked courteously into the room. That is very good to know, Mr. Prime Minister. I will check on that as soon as I can. I think it will make a difference. By the way, I think our people are getting close to a power source. I'll keep you posted. Let's talk again tomorrow at this time. Thank you, my friend. And with that, Riker hung up the phone. Good morning, Mr. President, said Lorraine, lowering her shoulder bag to the floor and taking a seat in one of the overstuffed chairs in front of his desk. Hey, good morning. The UK Prime Minister had some curious information. This is going to sound really fringe. Do you know anything about crop circles? Asked Riker. What would you like to know? Asked Lorraine with a tone that she could speak for hours on the subject. I thought so. He said they've been around for like 1,000 years or so. But now he says they're everywhere, said Riker. What does he mean, everywhere? Asked Lorraine. His Minister of Defense has been swamped with reports of bright lights at night. The Interior Council normally sees 1 or 2 crop circles a month. There have been dozens per day, said Riker. Did he happen to say if he knew what was causing them? Asked Lorraine. They don't have a clue. These are complex circles, some of them hundreds of feet in diameter, and they're popping up in a matter of minutes. It would take a small army to do, if they were fake, said Riker. I think the planet's trying to tell us something, said Lorraine. I was afraid you might say something like that. Can this get any crazier? Asked Riker. It sounds to me like a complete restoration. The planet has been whispering to us clues for centuries, but now it is shouting. I can stand here for hours and recite songs and poems about it, but I can give you the short version. The soul of the Earth is taking us home. We are all going through a transfiguration right now, said Lorraine in a distant voice. I know we're changing. I mean, we're leaving the bad guys behind, right? Said Riker. Not exactly. A transfiguration is a physical temporary upgrade of the human body so that it can withstand a higher vibrational environment, said Lorraine, using her hands to outline her body. What do you mean, upgrade? Asked Riker. Okay. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration in the Bible? Asked Lorraine. I'm sure you're going to make me feel like I don't, so go ahead, said Riker, smiling. Peter, James, and John were taken to a mount by Jesus, and then were suddenly enveloped in a blazing bright light. In order to withstand the energy or glory of this light, they were transfigured. Many scholars believe the only reason we know about this event is because Peter was so completely overwhelmed during the process. These three mortals were exposed to the glory of God, face to face, and they lived to tell about it. For over 2,000 years, we were led to believe that the planet was destined to be burned while the righteous were being taken up off Earth. When compared to the scriptures, this was a grand deception, probably started by the Nephilim, said Lorraine. So the wicked are not going to burn? Asked Riker. No, we are.